You would be so kind as to turn to John, the 8th chapter, verses 31 and 32. Today's message is Truth Warriors. Truth Warriors. God's given me this thing to help us to come to understand that we are warriors. If you don't believe it, just look at your life. You're in a battle. And the truth of it is we already won because of Jesus. And sometimes we tend to forget. And that is the biggest truth that we must really cement within our own being. Because if we do not believe that we have the victory through faith in Jesus Christ, we will continue to battle ourselves, our situations, and our circumstances, which will always, always overwhelm us. Amen? Amen. John 8, verses 31 through 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my words, and you are my disciples, indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We have been on this theme about spiritual warfare, and spiritual warfare is not some real awesome thing that we should be afraid of. We should embrace it, and we should have the mindset. But part of that mindset is, Jesus tells us, he says, if we abide in his words, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Because Jesus' disciples are free. That's the truth. We may be going through certain things. We may have certain things going on. But the element of truth is that if you are not liberated, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, then you're still not entered into the fullness of what God has for you. And so what we try to understand is that a lot of times, young Christians, baby Christians, carnal Christians, what they do is they forget that we're in this war zone, and we focus our attention on the offense or the offender and never on the person who's really doing the evil, and that is Satan, because we don't see him. And so that is kind of like out of sight, out of mind type of thing. But the fact of the matter is, he is an insidious enemy of ours. He is planning, and he is choreographing how we're going to respond in our infancy to these certain situations and dilemmas or dramas that go on in our lives. And what we do is we focus on those individuals who don't know any better. And what happens is, because we forget that we're in this spirit warfare, we start thinking about how they've wronged us, how they've done this, how they've done that. And the fact of the matter is, we've got to go past that. I've always said to the leaders, look at what's pushing the buttons. Don't look at the situation or what's going on in a person's life. Amen. Amen. We must also remember another truth, that God is not the author of evil. What happens is, in our circumstances and situations, we find ourselves in this revolving door type of thing. And I watched Ed yesterday go through this revolving door, and he was just continuously picking up speed so that, you know, I wasn't going to sin and try to get in there and get smacked with one of those dividers. So I let him tire out. And then Miss Holly grabbed him and pulled him out of the door. Oh, man, we got an amen. But understand that the truth of the situation is, we are fighting an invisible foe. And that's what we must be focused on 24/7. If we don't, we will be looking with our carnal eyes to results that are coming, that are waiting to be manifested. But the reality of it is that if we are not doing our part, God definitely will not do his part. Amen? All right, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And if we look at these two verses, first we have to abide in his words, And we understand that we can't come to the Father unless we're in Jesus. Right? The truth is, we can't even get to the Father until Jesus is in us. Okay? If you don't have truth in you, you will live a lie. That is the fact. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to negate the fact that all God's Word is true. He doesn't want us to build our lives in such a way that truth resounds for us. And so this is where the warfare is. We're not fighting a foe that honors truth. We're fighting a foe that has schemes of and plans of lies and deception. If we don't know what the truth is, we should find out what the truth is. God's Word will tell us. Well, you just can't understand it, Pastor. I'm stuck in this thing and I just can't get out of it. What's God say? I think most people don't like coming to my office because I always... What's God say? That's right. Don't tell me you don't know. Get in the Word. I'll tell you what God says. Because you see, for us as truth warriors, we must be those carriers of truth. That's what the ark is all about. The spirit of truth dwells in God's people. And we are free from all kinds of sin. We are free from all kinds of circumstances. And what happens is we may be set free from our sin, but our circumstances tend to overwhelm us. And we tend to say, okay, if I do this, and if I do this, and if I do this, that will be taken care of. The fact of the matter is, that has already been taken care of. Are you with me? Why? Because the truth dwells in you. When you start operating and living truth, then you come to understand the fact that you know what? Everything that you say about yourself, well, I just couldn't get up. No, you're lazy. I was late. No, you didn't prepare properly to be there on time. I had a lot of these things going on. You needed to take care of them yesterday. You know, whatever we do, we tend to excuse our behavior, and that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to remain infantile and excuse-ridden. A warrior has no excuses. He goes and he destroys his enemy. Then after he destroys the enemy, he takes what the enemy has as his own and then continues moving on to the next opponent. And this is what we have to understand, is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He not only spoke truth, he embodied truth. He is truth. And if you're born again into the Spirit, all truth now dwells within you. That's why John, in 1 John, he says, you have no one to teach you. You have no need for anyone to teach you because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He will teach you in all things. But what happens is in this society that we're living in, this fast food mentality that we're going through, that we need to get this answer immediately. God's not into quick fixes. You see, he's in for the long haul. And if we understand how truth operates, truth will not only take us from the place we are, truth will take us and make us successful at the very end. But we want to be successful now, and that's not God's plan for us. You see, unless we understand what the rudiments of how to fight this fight of faith, we will continuously shoot ourselves in the foot, become disabled, make excuses. And this end time church that God is raising up is a church that is filled with glory and power. It not only knows who it is, it demonstrates who she is. Amen? So let's do some basics. Truth. What is truth? According to Webster's, it's a verifiable and undisputed fact, principle, or proposition. It is an actuality or actual existence that confirms to fact or conforms to fact or reality. It is the agreement with a standard that promotes accuracy, honesty, integrity, and truthfulness as the way of life. Jesus is the truth. the life, and the way. He lived his life totally by this definition. And he has empowered each and every one of us to do the same. That's the truth. If the Spirit of God that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken, make alive, bring to reality your mortal body into conformity as to the person of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we tend to forget. We tend to want to really think about deep truths and stuff. And, you know, I was thinking about a closer walk. There was only one thing that really got me. And that was when this person said, the speaker had said, when your will is neutral to God's, things happen. And you know what? That just brought me back to a lot of things. And I started thinking about how it was when I heard the gospel for the first time. And I wanted God. I didn't want anything else. I just wanted God. I didn't know I wanted God. But inside me knew, because my life was just falling apart. And then when I heard the good news and I believed the good news, I believed that Jesus was my Savior and He died on the cross, I have eternal life the moment I believed. Is that true? Absolutely true. Absolutely true. But what happens is, as soon as we get saved, we fall back to our fallen or dead nature. And we feel that we have to do something additional to what God has already done and perfected once and for all on the cross. And so what we have to realize is that we have an exchanged life. We no longer live in defeat. We're no longer defeated. We're no longer sinful. We're no longer this unholy people. We are the people of God because of what Christ has done. He has given us His life, and we have died on the cross. So the life I know I live now is not me who lives, but it's Christ in me living and in you. And most Christians don't even understand that rudiment basic as to what that means. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. What you were, your history, your past stops at the cross. You have no past in God's eyes. That's the truth. But all the time we listen to the enemy draw up our past. Oh, you were caught in drugs. You had premarital sex. You did. You know what? That's what our past was. All things are made new. And in Jesus Christ, we don't have to do anything except confess and believe that He's King and Lord of our lives. Then allow what He has created in us to come forth. And this is a concept that is very, very difficult for people to come to understand, because they just don't realize. They still have this doing mindset. Once you receive Jesus and understand that He has done everything, your position, righteousness, righteousness is not exactly a consequence or a condition. It is your position now in Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So if I'm in this flesh, it is no longer me that is sinning. It is the sin in my flesh. And it is my responsibility to appropriate that victory that is now filled within my spirit to put that flesh down. No one can do it but you. Jesus did everything to provide you and enable you to put it down. But you have to now make some sort of corrections. And we know that one of the principles that we stress here is renew your mind. You know, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. and be no longer conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know and prove what is the good and acceptable will of God for you. It's your responsibility. Your responsibility. Paul says, don't put on it anything more. Take off. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So now what he's saying to us is that the truth of the matter is that I have been renewed within my spirit. I need to allow that spirit person of who I am, the true person that I am now in Jesus Christ, to come forth. And now we have this tug of war going on between my flesh nature and my spiritual nature. And what happens is, this is where we gather our understanding that, you know what, I would rather give in to my sinful nature because it's so much easier. The fact of the matter is, your sin nature is going to kill you. It's going to choke your spirit and kill you. You must learn how to appropriate this victory in Jesus Christ to every area of your life. You can't just put Jesus on or a part of Jesus on. You need to put him on. Amen? We have to understand how to do this and how to walk in this. Turn with me to Ephesians 6. This is what it means to be a truth warrior. You know, there are people who have truth that's out there, and they beat each other to death with truth. I call them right fighters. This is the truth, and this is the right way to go. And boom, 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 we beat you to death. And there's no grace, there's no mercy for a person who is struggling in this area to appropriate the victory into their lives. And what happens is, you know, some people don't want to change. And that's okay. I don't have to deal with your sin. God does. And this is what I've said to numerous people. If you don't want to be discipled into the ways of righteousness and growing up and be all that you possibly can be in Jesus Christ, then stop wasting my time and go and sin and be the best sinner you possibly can. And I've said it to people. And Irene says to me, man, that's real hard to say. I said, no, it's not. Until they get tired of sin, they will continue to sin because they're living a life that is compromising. You can't be a Christian and a sinner at the same time. My scriptures tell me it's impossible. We see it all the time and we accept it. That's what happens. But the fact, the truth of it is, you are no longer that person. That sin no longer has control over you. The God who created the universe, the God who created heaven and all that is in there and all who are there, the angels, has now come to dwell in us and has endowed us with his power to overcome the flesh. That's why Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 14. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the deceptions, the schemes and traps that lure us away of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present dark age, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. And I'm not going to read the other ones because we're going to go through and see what this looks like for a warrior. Now, in the olden days, a belt was used to hold the weapons and equipment of the soldiers. Okay? And it was girded around their midriff. when they went into battle, if they didn't have their full armor on, they were in robes. And they would lift their robes and they would tuck their robes in there so that they would not slip up and fall, because once they slipped up and fell, the advantage was to the enemy to kill them. It also was used as a place for their medals, certificates of honor for heroism and courage. And what we have to understand is that the first thing we as believers must operate in is in truth. Truth girdles us. It keeps us sure. It keeps our pants from falling down and being exposed by the enemy. It holds the things that we need. Truth develops things within us, and those things is honesty and integrity. Integrity is pure moral and ethical operations. And if we aren't, we need to repent, get it under the blood, and start walking in this. Because, you know, as long as we vacillate within our hearts, we won't be able to stand. We won't be able to withstand the assault of the enemy each and every day. That's the truth. If we put on Jesus, we have to put on all of Jesus. We can't pick and choose what we're going to pick up or not pick up. You're either in Christ or out of Christ, but there's no halfway. And what happens is Christians, especially baby Christians, denominational Christians, what they're thinking is that, you know what, I can do a little bit of sin. Or I can do. You can't do any, because the moment you sin, you disqualify yourself. You ruin God's testimony about who you are. Well, you know, you just don't understand. It's a struggle. I do understand. You see, I understand because one day I was where you were. Maybe not caught in the same things that you are caught in. But my struggles are even more because of my position of authority is greater. And I'm being assaulted more than you could ever even ask or imagine. And I rely on God to get me through. That's the truth. Jesus is able to keep us from tripping. The more we put the truth in action, the more we live truth, the more our lives reflect Jesus Christ, the more success our lives become. We have to understand that truth in its true essence is an inspiration. Truth inspires us to do great things. Truth inspires us to think great things. Truth inspires us to hope wonderful things. Truth magnifies the love of God in us. That's why David was able to say, Father, I love your word. Your truth I've hidden in the inner parts. You see, he caught on to a revelation that many fail to understand. You see, when we stay in Jesus Christ, we learn that truth gives us a value system, and we value integrity. I look at people's lives. I don't look at what they tell me. Because people have this propensity to be deceived about who they are, including myself. I can be deceived. We have to understand that living in the truth keeps the Lord's reputation. You see, you don't have a reputation anymore. Your reputation was what you had before you came to Christ. That's all gone. It's clean. Whatever you did before the cross, God doesn't remember, and we should never use to battle one another. We should remind one another, that's not who you are anymore. That's not what you did, that you're not supposed to do that anymore. In love, we are to expose the unfruitful works of the flesh. Expose it. And then in that exposure, come around and cover that. But what do? We gossip. We speak evil. And the good that people do to help us, we fail to really put that into a place of good energy, so to speak. What happens is we fall back into our sin nature. And that's not what God wants for us. See, truth is the central part of our very being. Truth is what enables us to get off from crawling and groveling on the floor before the enemy and begin to stand up and step on him. He's defeated. The only power that he has is to lie to us and deceive us. He does not have any power over the believer. The moment that you confess that Christ is your Lord and Savior is the moment you became Satan's nightmare. And I'm here to tell you that as a warrior of truth, you're not to fight with us, one another. We do our battle on our knees. We do the battle for those who don't understand. We forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Those who live a life of compromising the truth are hypocritical. They could come to church and they could do their whole thing and they play church, they play Christian. But the end time church, what God is doing is he is stirring that up in such a way that you are either going to be Christ-like or you're not. Any ounce of compromise in this future move of God is going to be like Ananias and Sapphira, like the first church. They came in, they said they were going to do something, they didn't do it. They didn't lie to man, they lied to God. And they were out of here. They left Hotel 6 in a heartbeat. We know that those who compromise their value system because there's no truth in them, we can readily see that because Jesus said where their heart is, that's where their treasure is. I mean, this is not hard to see where people are. And how sad it is to have truth. There's truth in the world, and then there's truth, and then there's truth embodied. You see, in order for us to have a Christ-like nature, we must allow truth to embody us. That's what John said. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. When you get into the Word that is already in you agrees. Where two or more witnesses are, God is in the midst. He dwells in you. He agrees with His Word. You become what He says you are. It's that simple. But it boggles our minds because we believe that we got to do something. Yeah, you got to stop. Drop and roll out of doing and just release who you are inside. You are this powerful, dynamic person with endless possibilities because your Father has given you a life filled with wonder and power. And there is nothing impossible for God to do, so there is nothing impossible for Him who believes the truth. Amen? And finally, those who compromise truth live a double-minded lifestyle. And by this I mean that they don't go to God because they're vacillating. They don't know what they want. And so because they don't know what they want, their life goes on to this slow deterioration. And it constantly goes down and down and down and down. And that is not what God wants. He is not the author of this. He wants to promote and bless His people. He wants to bless them so much that the more that they give of themselves, the more He gives of Himself, of His substance, of His power, of His great glory. And that is what's coming, church. We shouldn't be seeking all the stuff that He wants to give us. We have it all. It's ours already. We need to give it away to those who don't have anything. And so those who live a life of compromise in these three areas have a life that's filled with hopelessness and endless drama, with no peace, no security, living from situation to circumstance to situation to circumstance instead of standing above that. Because you see, truth lifts us up out of that. We now stand on those things. So it does not matter what happens to us. Although, it may, you know, we may lose a job. We may suffer lack or loss. We may have a loved one who dies. But God is greater than all that. He who raised Christ from the dead is able to elevate you and has elevated you, because now you are seated in Christ Jesus. Where? At the right hand of the Father. You are not paupers anymore. The truth of it is, you are awesome, powerful warriors for this end time. So as truth warriors, we have to fight evil thoughts that produces evil actions. Let's let truth inspire us to overcome our situations. Let our fight for truth be spoken in love. You know, it says, you know, speak the truth in love. Do you want to really know what that means? It's real simple. What it means is, lost my place. It's telling others about Christ and what He has done for us by just living honestly. It's not going out there telling them to come to church. It's not telling them they need to get saved. It's not telling them to man up. It's not telling them that. They already know that. What they need is to see the living Christ through you and through me in every circumstance. People don't want to know about Jesus until they see Him living through your life and in my life. And truth will eventually bring us to a successful life. The life that God created each and every one of us to enjoy with Him. To a life of true freedom. Amen? Father, I just praise You and I thank You for Your truth, God. There is nothing, God, impossible to You. And now there is nothing impossible to the believing church. God, I pray for the souls here today, Lord, that they would grasp the simplicity of Your design and the marvelous of Your wisdom, God. Holy Spirit, forgive us for thinking that we're something when we're nothing. Forgive us in comparing ourselves one to another instead of comparing ourselves to You. Forgive us of the pretense of holiness and godliness, when inside we know we're just whitewashed tombs. Holy Spirit, I ask that You pour out the blood of Jesus upon us and cleanse us. And then from this moment forward, commit ourselves to releasing truth in our lives. That we would fight for truth, that we would live as truth warriors. That what people see is Jesus in action. Not only through us individually, but collectively as a body. Jesus, you are our King. You are the head. We must submit to your will, your way, via your word. Help us. Help us to yield to you. Help us to assume our responsibilities before you. Help us to be faithful with the little things so that we would be faithful in the much. Help us to learn to serve others first, not to see how they can serve us. Help us, Holy Spirit, to remain seated in the heavenly places while the Spirit of Christ emanates from our lives. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.